News. The news, it's 7 days to the Joy News National Media Freedom Dialogue on defending media freedom ahead of the December general election. The news is live on Joy 99.7 in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, and on myjoyonline.com. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana on Bishara Radio Tamale, Sky Sunyani, and Radio Free Nandom. We're also live on X Spaces and Facebook. The media news is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Coming up, Joy News confirms the seizure of Regina House, one of Ghana's prime commercial properties in London, following government's failure to settle a £134 million judgment debt awarded by a UK tribunal.
Charging order gives the management of the property to GFTDC's solicitors or property appointees until the debt is paid.
Well, new concerns arise over the latest U.S. court judgment debt against Ghana as Imani Africa's Vice President Bright Simmons raises fresh claims about government's handling of the situation. Also coming up, civil society leaders express concern that the military will intervene with possible implications for the stability of the country if election 2024 degenerates into violence, as the opposition NDC says it is still unwilling to sign a peace pact.
Look at the threat to our democracy. The armed forces of Ghana, since 2016, have clearly, openly, in press conferences, threatened that, look, if violence breaks out in the country on over election day, they will step in. That will be a coup.
Well, we have details, plus their concerns that the political parties are still maintaining vigilante groups, but in different forms and shapes.
One of the things we've seen that although the political parties, some still have these vigilante groups, they don't call them vigilante groups, but they've taken on new names.
All manner of names.
Yes.
Also, newly elected Trade Union Congress Chairman vows radical leadership, describing the current state of the Congress as weak and unresponsive to workers' rights.
Currently, we go to the negotiation table to beg. I believe that radicalism and social dialogue is the game. I believe in Choboy.
But the new Secretary General is preaching unity as he takes office to fight for workers' rights. We have sports.
Former Communications Director of the Ghana Football Association, Ibrahim Sanidara, has warned that domestic clans will die if government does not intervene.
And much later, forced by poverty to mitigate to migrate from the north to Accra, young girls working as kayaye face unimaginable hardships, sleeping outside, paying outrageous rent, and living in constant fear of rapists.
I was having a friend I was living with, but because I don't have money, they sacked me. I was sleeping outside. One day they tried to rape me, but I escaped.
What they are thinking to do to me is no good. I know that if not, they want to kill me. It's like they want to rape me.
These are more coming up with me, Mamiesi Nyamiche Thompson. Stay for details. Joy News can confirm that oil conglomerate Trafigura Ghana Power Generation Company has taken over one of the country's most important commercial properties, the Regina House in London. For 4 years, Trafigura has been unsuccessful in getting the government of Ghana to pay up a $134 million judgment debt awarded to the energy firm after the early termination of a power purchase agreement. This situation forced Trafigura to secure another judgment in the United States courts, which awarded a mandatory interest on the default of $111.4 million, which remains the arrears to be paid by the Republic of Ghana. Attorney General Godfrey Aboadami tells Joy News it is up to the Finance Ministry to expedite action on payment.
You know, after the entry of the arbitral award, which is final, the only obligation left is for the state, which is the judgment debtor, to pay. So it is the failure of the government of Ghana to pay this judgment debt entered in January 2021, which has led to repeated applications in various courts by GPDC. You remember that about some few months ago, our High Commissioner to England, Papa Wilson Kuma, was actually on radio, on your network, lamenting the seizure of some assets and all that. And that was settled in such a way that the assets were released from attachment. The government of Ghana subsequently paid some amount of money, but it was not enforced settlement of the judgment debt. So the judgment debt is still outstanding. So the explanation for the failure to pay now does not lie with the attorney. It lies with the Ministry of Finance. It is actually a matter between Ministry of Finance and Ministry of Energy. And as far as I'm concerned, any role to be played by the Attorney General did not happen in my time or tenure as Attorney General. So really, the only obligation left is to pay. It's for the Ministry of Finance and Ministry of Energy to negotiate means of paying the judgment debt. And it's the same thing. It is not a new judgment debt for people to now scheme as if, with all respect, I had defaulted on any duty at all. In my tenure as Attorney General, there has not been a single judgment debt.
And you heard there the Attorney General, Godfrey Yabuadame. Now, following the latest Joy News report on the United States District Court ruling, Vice President of Imani Africa, Bright Simmons, took to Twitter to state that one of Ghana's most important commercial properties, the Regina House in London, has been taken over by oil conglomerate Trafigura following a judgment debt ruling by a tribunal in the United Kingdom. According to Bright Simmons, this information is being concealed by the government of Ghana. Head of our diplomatic Affairs Desk, Blessed Soga, joins us with details of the concerns raised by Bryce Simmons on X, also known as Twitter. Now, Blessed, what does he say?
Well, the Vice President of Imani Africa says on his X account that, quote, in a country where accountability is taken very seriously, by the citizens, the latest Trafigura judgment installment would be the subject of a major inquiry, unquote. He then continues to point out that despite assurances by the High Commissioner in the United Kingdom that the ongoing negotiations will prevent Trafigura from seizing government properties in the UK, the country's biggest property in central London, which is the Regina House, is already in receivership and, quote, all rent payments now go to the oil conglomerate Trafigura. He then points to the historic facts of the case and then reveals as well that the Energy Commission boss advised the government that terminating the deal will only cost $18 million, which is lower than the $100 million that Ghana was required to pay for power over the four-year contract term, which is the agreement apparently Ghana did not need, as he's pointing to. And then he continues to call on the Attorney General and other actors to expedite action on this.
Thank you so much, Blessed. Well, Joy News confirms now that the Regina House, which belongs to the government of Ghana, is now under receivership by oil firm Trafigura, Ghana's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom. Papa Owusu Nkrumah, in an exclusive interview with Joy News this morning, disclosed that until the bills are settled, Trafigura will be in full control over the revenue made from the property. He's therefore calling for more options to avert the implications of this compounding interest.
What it is that the charging order gives the management of the property to GFTDC's solicitors or property appointees until the debt is paid. They cannot even sell the property. They have maybe applied to sell the property to defray the judgment debt. So for him to allege that we've not been truthful to the people of the country is very, very unfair. I've never said that. So in the context of the application for charging order in respect of private property of the government of Ghana, and I have them here. It was in 6 Courtly Gardens, London, 109 Millway, London, Regina House, Cheapside, 42 Kenneth Crescent, London, and 24 Wren Avenue. And then when our solicitors asked us, as custodians of this property, what the properties were being used for, we said that the four properties, Courtly Gardens, Millway House, Regina, Kenneth Crescent, and Wren Avenue, were being occupied by employees of the government of Ghana who are diplomats. It was not subject to any charging order. It's the Minister of Finance who holds the purse strings of the government of Ghana. And he, I'm sure, will be the best person to tell the people of Ghana how we are going to pay this debt.
Mm. Now, based on this receivership terms, how long does it look like this facility will be controlled by Trafigura?
Until we pay in full or come to an arrangement to pay with them.
And he had a High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, Papa Owusu Ankoma, giving details of Ghana's property in London, the Regina House. Now, leaders of civil society groups in the country are concerned the Ghana Armed Forces could intervene, which could have implications for the stability of the country if the 2024 election degenerates into violence. These concerns come on the back of the refusal of the largest opposition, the NDC, to sign a peace pact ahead of the election. Executive Director of the Institute for Democratic Governance, IDEC, Dr. Emmanuel Akwete, says the military has indicated clearly that they will step in if the police are unable to maintain peace.
Look at the threat to our democracy. The armed forces of Ghana, since 2016, have clearly, openly, in press conferences, threatened that, look, if violence breaks out in the country over election disputes, or whatever, and the police cannot deal with it, and it's escalating or spreading, they will step in. And they said if they did so, it would be to protect the territorial integrity, our peace, and our national, and the nation, national unity. That will be a coup, because the police can deal with nationwide violence. They are not equipped for that. But two, it's not about parliamentary elections. This is about presidential elections, because the president is elected throughout the country, and they have said that a second time in 2020, and probably even the third time, they've even started talking about it to so early. Look, read the papers and you would see the threat is real in a sub-region where there is a drift towards military or the return of military government.
Well, Dr. Akwete also says the issue of political party vigilantism is still very much real, despite a law prohibiting its existence.
And what was done about the violence? Were the perpetrators arrested? Were they prosecuted? Were those injured? How did we handle them? And so on. So there's a certain impunity, because both parties eventually then, as we saw in 2016 and thereafter in 2020, are vigilantes. They have now transformed from foot soldiers we saw first after the 2008 elections, getting to Chiwa, we saw that the foot soldiers had emerged.
And this is an assertion the West African Network for Peace Building confirms. According to the network's research coordinator, Dr. Festus Kofi Orban, some political parties are still maintaining these vigilante groups.
One of the things we've seen that although the political parties, some still have these vigilante groups, they don't call them vigilante groups, but they've taken on new names.
All manner of names.
Yes, new names and all that. But if you look at the activities and all that, it mimic that of the vigilante groups. And so we've been engaging, our plan is to engage the parties to make sure that the provisions in the act that they all sign on to are respected.
Dr. Festus Kofi Orban is the research coordinator of West African Network for Peace Building. Still on elections, it is day three of the Electoral Commission's voter register exhibition exercise. The first 2 days recorded low turnout across the country. Let us check in some of our the areas where our reporters are and how things are moving on. And we start from the central region, where my colleague Eric Asante is standing by. Eric, what is the situation at the centers you visited so far?
Most of the polling stations I visited in the Futu and the Gumwa East constituencies were without activities. For instance, at the taxi rank polling station, the Gumwa East constituency, only four people out of a possible 438 have come to check their names as of 11 a.m. when I visited this morning. The Chiefs compound polling station was no different, with five people out of 437. At the Dawson Memorial SDA, only one out of 662 people and potential voters had come to check their names. Most of the potential voters I spoke with cited apathy. Others said they were sure their names were on the register owing to the fact that they took part in the last district election. So I'm not asking currently in most of the polling stations I visited here in the central region.
Thank you so much, Eric. To the Ashanti region now, we have Emmanuel Braikweku on the line. Emmanuel, Eric is reporting very low turnout. Is that the same in where you are now?
I mean, see,
Ashanti region, the situation is not really different from what we are experiencing in the central region. For today, and the numbers have not really been encouraging. You go to some centres and they are still recording their fives and threes and the twos. But interestingly, when you speak with some of these those who are supposed to go and check their name, they tell you that they'll be doing it over the weekend, and that's because they are busy during the weekdays, and so hopefully on Saturday and Sunday they might go around or even before the exercise ends. And some of them are also subscribing to the digital platform to check their details, whether it's really captured in there. So the EC officers over here and even the Ashanti Regional EC board is hoping that most of these people are actually using the digital platform to check some of their names.
Right, thank you so much. Emmanuel Brightcook was our man in the Ashanti region. Meanwhile, the Electoral Commission says up to 19 persons have picked nomination forms to contest as independent presidential candidates in the December election. Listen to Director of Training at the Electoral Commission, Dr. Sribo Kweku.
The last time I checked, I think we had 19 people who have picked the, who's one to picking the form, okay. One to filing. Okay. But the independent presidential candidate have, for that's the order. About 19
independent, yes, presidential candidates.
Well, you have picked the form. But when picking the form, you don't pay anything.
Yeah. If it's when you are going to file, yeah, that is when you pay something. Yes.
So should some people will pick, but they will not file.
Should we be capping the number of, you know, people who can pick up forms and contest as independent candidates?
Democracy is expensive. Democracy gives the right to everybody once the person qualifies. The Constitution says the person should be at least 40 years.
Director of Training at the Electoral Commission, Dr. Sribo Kweku. Away from elections, the northern regions are reeling under the twin disasters of drought and devastating floods from the spillage of the Bagri Dam. This drought catastrophe has laid waste to farmlands, destroyed crops and livelihoods, plunging countless families into a desperate struggle for survival. In the Bono East and Oti regions, farmers are still facing severe drought conditions, anxiously wondering where their next meal will come from.
The issue is, what do I use to replow? What do I use to buy ammonia again, fertilizer again? What do I use to buy the seeds again? So, my dear, it is a very big blow. So devastating. Now, I use my salary for collateral. As I work, I do not have a penny in my pocket. You wouldn't believe it, but that is a fact. And my brother, who has also been helping small, you cannot put all your burdens on him.
It really is pathetic. Because after the tractor came to plow and I put the condemn, then I saw just a slight rain came and the maize started germinating. And since then, we didn't receive any rain anymore.
Well, let's head to the Apoas region now to find out how the situation is. Correspondent Rafiq Salam joins me on the line. Rafiq, what are the farmers saying? Unfortunately, we've lost Rafiq there, but we'll try the lines and get him back. But beyond the crippling drought, the spillage from the Bagri Dam is wreaking havoc on farms across the northern regions. In Lambusi, in the Upper West region, hundreds of farms have been submerged. The district focal person for the Persian Farmers Association, Baluru David, describes the situation.
The situation currently is very terrible. You know, the drought actually affected us for more than 1 month, 2 weeks. And almost all the crops were about dying. Some even is just condemned. We can't get anything from those fields. And the water too has come to finally clear some of the places away.
Well, the destruction wrought by these twin disasters has led to soaring food prices, particularly in the Savannah region. With farmlands devastated, the scarcity of produce is driving up cost. My colleague Isaac Nonya spoke to some food vendors.
How much do you buy a bowl of beans now in the market?
75 or 70 cedis.
That's the beans?
Yes.
How much do you used to buy?
I used to buy 25 and 30 cedis at first.
And what about the rice too?
The rice is now 68 cedis. A bag of rice.
Okay.
But I used to buy 25 Ghana cedis. 2.5.
Mm. Well, let's go back to the phone lines where our correspondent in the Upper West region, Rafiq Salam, joins me. Rafiq, you've been speaking to some farmers. What have they been telling you?
The farmers say that they are at their wit's end. They are really devastated about what transpired. And then the slew of farms, lands that I have visited, is not really encouraging. So I managed to speak to one of them who happens to be East Ifo Canton, and he expressed disappointment.
Currently, government is the one, is the gatekeeper. And government, for me, is a surety for our farmers. And as you do know, most of these farmers have not insured their crops, but they have run into huge losses. So I think there has to be a mitigation strategy, and government should step in and look at the mitigation strategy, immediately call the Ministry of Agri or Department of Agriculture to do an assessment, an evaluation. It's a major disaster. And normally during disasters, it is the duty of every government to intervene. It's very sad this year. I'm a farmer, and I have quite made some good investment in farming this year. Plowed several acres of maize, and even within what the one municipality in the city area.
Meanwhile, government's promised interventions have yet to materialize, leaving farmers in dire straits. National President of the Peasant Farmers Association, Awal Adugwala, is urging the government to expedite the delivery of aid to those affected.
Once you've lost everything to the flood, it means that they will not be able to go into the dry season farming. Some too have dug out wells around. Mm. So inputs could be given to them to be able to cushion them in going into the dry season farming. Those who are closer to the irrigation or those who have the dug-out wells. Others who, of course, we know the economic situation. They're dependent so much on this farm produce to be able to sell, to take care of some other things. So-
And you heard the national president of the Peasant Farmers Association, Awal Adugwala, taking us on a break here on the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We'll be back with sports and also newly elected Trade Union Congress Chairman Val's radical leadership, describing the current state of the Congress as weak and unresponsive to workers' rights.
Currently, we go to the negotiation table to beg. I believe that radicalism and social dialogue is the game. I believe in Choboy.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
They're luckiest.
Stars, everyone to us.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial *712# now. Join in the luckiest winning celebration every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712# now. I can swear to take it through as a group, individual, and also even as a community. Now, win is the car cashier, prizes are cashier in the community draw, or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Now, join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest.
*712#.
Luck is everywhere. For everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
Welcome back to the Midday News. Muftau is here with Sport. Muftau, what's happening in the Ghana Premier League?
Well, the next episode of Prime Take airs this weekend, and Ibrahim Sanidala is a guest. He says that politicians should invest in Ghana football, or else the domestic leagues will die.
All the teams in Ghana today are owned by individuals. It is individuals that are funding, are paying for the kids of people or Ghanaian youth to become who they are. The state must support them. It must not be a one-man effort. So I think that not only should government change its strategy, it must have a strategy for this. Otherwise, our domestic leagues will die and it will be on their heads.
To be including my Macy's head.
Thank you very much, Muftal. Now, newly elected chairman of the Trade Union Congress, Bernardo Owusu, is promising radical leadership with a focus on protecting workers' rights. Bernardo Owusu polled 347 votes to defeat Alex Opokunyako, who was seeking to extend his tenure as the quadrennial Congress of the TUC at the Pentecost Convention Center in the Central Region. According to him, the current state of the TUC is weak and unresponsive to workers' rights. He promises to change that.
The current leadership, they've done their bit, but I think it is time we change and move on. The TUC as it stands today is quite weak. The reason being that as TUC, there are a lot of things that is happening that I think we should have done it better. Currently, we go to the negotiation table to beg. I believe that radicalism and social dialogue is the game. I believe in Choboy, and I believe that we can do more. We can do better. We live in a time of economic uncertainty where workers are under increasing pressure and gaps between the rich and the poor continues to widen. Our fight is far from over. As the TUC chairman.
Now, Deputy Secretary General Joshua Nsah also replaces Dr. Anthony Yalba as Substantive Secretary General. He is preaching unity among members.
Let us all put whatever has happened behind us and unite our front. I'm calling for unity because in unity lies strength. Let us leverage the unity that you have and ensure that we do what is expected of us. Unity is what we are calling for. And I have no doubt that when we unite, the challenges that is ahead of us, we can eradicate or reduce the problems facing Ghanaian workers and workers at large.
Now it's 7 days to the Joint News National Media Freedom Dialogue on defending media freedom. And the event is coming on live here on all our platforms, and head of our political desk and senior news editor, Evans Mensah, joins us with more on what to expect in this campaign. Evans, what does this campaign entail?
So, as you know, we're approaching elections, and it's a time when we have experienced it at Joy FM ourselves and across the media landscape. Journalists become targets for all manner of unscrupulous individuals who want to attack us for whatever reason, just for doing our jobs. And we're going to be using this period between now and next week and beyond to get the message across. We want stakeholders to be part of this, the police, the judiciary, and everybody else to, in essence, appreciate the importance of the role that we play, but also agents and allies in protecting journalists wherever they are and their safety when they get out there to do their jobs. And that is essentially why we are doing this, to protect all of us, but to get everybody else involved, not only journalists, but stakeholders broadly.
And who do we expect to enter this conversation?
I mean, we're going to have the police service, we're going to have the judiciary, we're going to have civil society, the media itself, and it's going to be culminating this on Thursday next week with a major national media freedom dialogue in partnership with CDD and others. The IGP himself will be there. We're going to have very high-ranking officers also from the judiciary also participating, and we're going to have a panel discussion, but it's going to be a day of